Coming to you live from the Soup Studios in beautiful downtown Metrodelphia, it's once again time for that Crime Buster Deluxe, that Houdini of whodunits, Jack McCoy Private Eye. Tonight's thrilling adventure, Haunted Housewarming.
I wonder sometimes if it is possible to go through life without being asked, at some point in your existence, the question of, do you believe in ghosts? I can tell you for certain that it is not possible to go through the life of a private detective without hearing the question. This is because of the nature of my line of work. I answer questions. If you have a question in your life such as, did my store burn down by accident, or did someone start the fire? Then we, as a society, have determined that it's worth our collective tax dollars to have people paid to figure that sort of thing out for you. For other questions, however, we are not willing to make such a collective investment. Is my husband cheating on me? Is a great example. It's a question you might want an answer to, but if you were to present the question to a publicly funded detective, they would toss you out on your keister. Despite that, however, you probably still feel the question is important, and that is where I come in. I answer questions for money when people can't get the question answered for free. I do this no matter how stupid the question is.
Mr. McCoy, do you believe in ghosts?
Ooh!
Please, Mr. Mortensen, pay no attention to Ethel. To be clear, that's a blanket piece of advice you should follow for the rest of your life.
Oh, don't worry. Your secretary's enthusiasm for the topic is actually quite encouraging.
Oh, yeah. Ghosts and ghoulies sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd rather not discuss your dating life. Mr. Mortensen, I should point out, and I cannot stress this enough, Ethel is not my secretary.
No?
Not even a little. Secretaries do administrative actions, such as filing or typing up reports. Ethel does not do these things.
What does she do?
Mostly ride me about paying the rent. Of late, she has decided it behooves her to take a more active role in my selection of casework.
Meaning?
Meaning she hovers over me like the sword of Damocles with a not-so-implied threat of falling in the event that I turn down the case.
I also make the place more homey and inviting for its clients. Would you care for a snickerdoodle?
Are they good?
They are. But only because the world's worst snickerdoodle is better than the world's best chocolate chip cookie.
Thank you, then. Now, Mr. McCoy, you have not answered my initial question. What is this?
This is a business card for an agency that might be better suited to assist you.
Yes, I've been there. They sent me away.
I was afraid of that. Morty is a bit of a stickler for the cases he'll take.
He does have an actual secretary, however.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that I'd exchange his circumstances with my own.
I bet he pays his rent on time.
I retract my last statement.
So, to return to the topic at hand, do you believe in ghosts?
Do you believe in ghosts?
I asked you first.
Yes, but my answer is dependent on your answer. In my experience, people who ask about the existence of ghosts tend to want a specific response. The sooner you tell me what that response is, the sooner I can give it to you.
So you're agnostic on the subject of ghosts?
I believe apathetic describes it better. Look, let me be honest with you.
As the person you owe money to, I strongly advise against that.
No, please, I would like to hear this.
Well, it comes down to this. If a client doesn't believe in ghosts, then they usually want me to prove a ghost doesn't exist, which is mostly impossible. If they do believe in ghosts, they want me to prove ghosts do exist, which is completely impossible.
Now, why is proving that a ghost doesn't exist only mostly impossible?
Well, if it works at all, it generally boils down to a variation on the Perry Mason defense. Only instead of, my client couldn't have committed the murder because that guy over there did it, the argument goes, a ghost did not make those horrifying noises because they came from this tape recorder hidden inside the heating ducts.
And finding that tape recorder falls within your skill set?
It is more or less what I do.
Then you are very much the man for the job.
His fee is $75 a day, plus expenses, and he'll need $300 up front to cover those.
$300 in expenses to start the case?
Oh, I know all about ghost hunting. He's going to need a couple pairs of night vision goggles.
Ghosts do not scare me. If they exist at all, they have never done me any harm. I have a similar opinion of goblins, vampires, werewolves, and all the other assorted boogeymen of lore. No, what scared me was the word couple, as in a couple pairs of night vision goggles. Last time I checked, I only have one pair of eyes. Additionally, I know my landlady slash bane of my existence is an enthusiastic fan of the show Spook Spies, where the majority of the show is shot via night vision. I imagine this is done so that when there is invariably nothing to see, at least that nothing looks cool. Regardless, all this meant I was going to have company when I came to investigate the ghosties. Lucky me. I decided to send Ethel to go get the goggles she thought we needed. In the meantime, I hightailed it out of there.
Yes?
Good morning. I'm Jack McCoy. I'm a private investigator acting on behalf of Trevor Mortensen.
Oh, hello. It's very nice to meet you. I'm Wanda Starsky.
May I come in?
Oh, heavens no. I'm sorry, Mr. McCoy. I hate to make anyone stand in the rain, and I know you're just doing your job, but if you're working for Trevor Mortensen, I don't really have a lot to talk to you about.
I'm not sure I understand.
Trevor Mortensen would like to buy this building. I do not want him to buy this building. I can't really do anything to stop the purchase, but I'm not going to do anything to make it easier either. And apparently that includes talking to you. Would you like a snickerdoodle for the road?
For the road?
Well, Trevor doesn't own the building yet. And I've already said you're not allowed to come in, so technically you're trespassing. But like I say, I have nothing against you personally, so... Snickerdoodle?
You told my client that he should stop his efforts to purchase this building because it's haunted.
I did. And it is, yes.
I'm afraid my client isn't willing to take your word for that. He has asked me to investigate the truth of your claim. Now, it is certainly within your rights to tell me to hit the bricks.
Do people still say that?
You'd be amazed at the amount of old movie slang which comes out of someone's mouth when I introduce myself as a private eye. As I was saying, it's within your rights to tell me to vamoose. But if this place is really haunted, and if you allow me to investigate and confirm that, I can then tell my client to look at spending his money elsewhere.
Come in, Mr. McCoy.
Thank you. Nice place you got here.
I thank you for the polite lie. I know full well there are some repairs required here, and I do my best to keep up with the major ones, but I run this place as a boarding house, and there isn't always money for the little things. That unfortunately means Trevor has the option of reporting some of these as violations, and if he wanted to, he could force me to sell.
So you're strapped for cash and you object to a man like my client coming and offering you a huge sum of money?
It's not a question of money, Mr. McCoy. I don't make my boarders sign a lease, so Trevor could easily evict everyone who lives here. Then he could make all the needed repairs and rent the rooms out at 3 times what I'm charging.
Which is all well and good, right up to the point you realize there are now a bunch of people without a roof over their head.
Get out!
The ghost, I take it?
No, that was Mrs. Murphy. She doesn't like strangers.
Get out!
That's her at the top of the stairs waving a plunger at me in a threatening manner? I take it there's a vent up there she's shouting into to get that echo effect.
It's all right, Mrs. M.
Interloper!
Go back to your room, Mrs. M. It's almost time for the next episode of Spook Spies. You don't want to miss it. Once she warms up to you, she's a very nice woman.
Really?
No. Lori, Ben, can you two come into the living room for a minute?
Who are these two?
They're the ones who've seen the ghost most frequently.
What's up, Wansie?
Ben, Lori, this is Mr. McCoy. He has some questions about the other tenant.
The other tenant?
We don't like to use the G-word.
On account of Jamie, don't know he is.
Is what?
A G-word.
He's passed into the great beyond and all that, but he doesn't exactly know he's passed. He gets a little testy when he hears the word.
That's why we call him the other tenant. Because you never know what he's going to do if he figures things out.
What things? Like the fact that he's dead? What the...
Yeah, he's not exactly a fan of the D-word either.
So am I to take it that you knew this Jamie when he was more alive?
Oh, yeah. He lived down in the basement before we took over his room.
You're living in his old room?
Hey, best room in the house became available. What you gonna do?
And you don't mind sharing the room with a spook? Sorry. A specter. A poltergeist? Okay, so what can I say?
Sometimes he's okay with apparition.
Apparition?
Well, maybe not from you.
Whatever. So this guy used to live here too?
Yeah, Jamie Smith used to work as a bank teller next door, until one day he disappeared. At first, we thought he was just simply missing. But when the sightings began, we took it as a pretty clear sign that he'd gone on to the great beyond.
You're not even sure he's actually deceptively lacking in life? Oh, come on!
He's all kinds of not on this plane of existence, Mr. McCoy. That much we're sure about.
What makes you so sure?
Here, come down to the basement with us and we'll show you.
Fine, but I'm not sure what you expect me to... Well, thank you very much, everybody. I believe I'll see myself out. On a lot of television shows where the supernatural is real, there always seems to be one person who is a self-described cynic. This person invariably refuses to believe even the most obvious evidence that something beyond the normal could ever exist. Needless to say, I am not that guy. I am perfectly well aware that the supernatural spectacle I witnessed can easily be achieved with special effects. However, to make those believable, especially live, takes resources. So either spirits from beyond the grave are a real thing, or someone with a ton of money is living in an old, rundown building that's seen better days, and is not interested in using that money to make themselves more comfortable. As to which one stretches credibility more, I was currently on the fence. So I did what any private detective would do. I went and found a sucker who could do my legwork for me.
Jackie, me boyo, now what are you doing here?
I could ask you the same question, O'Hanlon. This is the city archives, not your local precinct. What are you doing behind the desk?
Oh, ho, ho. So it looks like I might have finally stumped the great Jack McCoy with a mystery unlike any other.
Uh-huh. Sure. So instead of a straight answer from you, we're gonna do this the hard way.
If you're up for it.
Fine. There's a large cardboard box on the table behind you wrapped in crime scene tape. This indicates it came from your office, and you didn't have the time to seal it properly. On the desk in front of you is an eyeliner pencil and a red lipstick, which you couldn't pull off on your best day. We're a couple days away from the end of the month, and I have a vague idea of how good you are with computers. So my guess is that you ran down here to make sure your reports for the last 6 months or so are actually in the system before your lieutenant notices how far behind you are, since that probably did not earn you any points with the young lady who now has to file all this stuff, you agreed to watch her desks while she goes on an extended lunch.
You don't see.
I do say. Unfortunately, your timing is lousy. I need some information on a case, and, well, you're the one I gotta deal with now. Now, how am I supposed to find information on the disappearance of Jamie Smith?
Jamie Smith? Well, off the top of me head, bucko, you might try asking the policeman who made up the missing persons report on that poor fella.
Are you trying to tell me that my luck is good enough to have you be that policeman?
Why, swear on me Uncle Walter's tombstone.
Yeah, I don't happen to recall if your Uncle Walter is alive or not. But I'll take what I can get. Talk to me, O'Hanlon.
Not much to say. His employer called us and said he hadn't been into work for a few days. We looked, and we found nothing.
The bank called it in?
That's right, Jack. And when we went next door to ask his roommates, there was nary a clue to be found. We even checked to make sure there were no bloodstains on the sidewalk outside.
Why on earth would that have crossed your mind?
I was thinking he might have been pushed out of his attic apartment, and then someone went and moved the body. It was just a tarry door.
Attic apartment? O'Hanlon, when the lady who runs this desk gets back, I'm going to need some information about a property deed. And maybe some blueprints. Then later today, you are going to come and help me prove a wild hunch. In repayment, I will not tell your lieutenant that you're here and not on your beat where you're supposed to be.
Jackie, did you just solve a crime before me very eyes?
It's more like I have a ridiculous theory. But if you come with when I go check it out, it's as much your neck on the line as mine.
Is that better?
It depends on the size of the axe, O'Hanlon. There is a rule for detectives called follow the money. But this, my friends, is a misnomer. Sometimes the rule should be called try to follow where somebody wants the money to be, independent of where it's supposed to be. And then figure out what that somebody is willing to do to get what they want. But I guess that rule doesn't roll off the tongue so good. The lady at the records desk gave me all the information I wanted, if you don't count her phone number. The idea was pretty harebrained, and there wasn't much chance I'd be right. So, of course, I had to have a bevy of people there to watch me when I screwed up.
It is now 7:36. I should have been home with my family hours ago.
And I very much appreciate your cooperation, miss.
I don't actually believe you.
Probably because I'm not especially sincere. Trust me, before the night is over, you'll be thanking me.
Mr. McCoy, for security reasons, I'm not really supposed to let anyone who isn't an employee into the vault. I was willing to make an exception for Officer O'Hanlon.
Ensuring that was very kind of you, missy.
But what exactly is his role here?
I had more or less the same question, Mr. McCoy.
He's the guy who hired me to solve his problem, which, it turns out, is actually your problem, as we'll see any moment now.
I remain skeptical, but let us assume you are correct. What then is her purpose?
Oh, don't mind me, sweetie. I'm just here in case a ghost shows up.
Why would there be a ghost in a bank vault?
Well, I know Jack's account has died about 100 times.
You know, you're absolutely right. She serves no purpose here. You can feel free to drag her out of here.
Oh, relax, wise guy. I brought snacks. Here, have one, sweetie.
That may be the world's worst snickerdoodle.
And yet still better than the world's best chocolate chip cookie, right?
Yes, and that's unbelievably irksome.
That's our Ethel for you.
What is that?
That is the overture for this little show. Everyone stand back. Let's make this a one-act farce, shall we?
All right. We're through. Ben, get the sacks. Wanda, you got the torch. Lori, you're on the crowbar.
And Sergeant O'Hanlon and I brought the guns. Hands on your head, Mrs. Murphy, and get down on the ground.
You lot are all under arrest for attempted bank robbery. You have the right to remain silent. You have... other rights, which I'm sure someone will tell you about when the rest of the squad gets down here.
Oh, boy.
How on earth did you know they were breaking into the bank?
You know what they say about real estate, Mr. Mortensen? Location, location, location. Sure, that house is a major dump. But it also happened to be within easy digging distance of the bank vault. And once I saw that the owner of the deed was one Jamie Smith, and that the house was never zoned to be a boarding house, well, things fell into place pretty quickly. They needed to delay the sale of the house, so even though they knew the light show they'd put on wouldn't work forever, the ghost story would throw enough of a monkey wrench into things for their purposes.
Wait, Jamie? My old teller?
The late and lamented, I'm afraid. I'm sure that when we do a more thorough search of this tunnel and the house next door, we'll find his body, or at least evidence he was killed. So, not to toot my own horn, but it looks like I saved the bank from a robbery, I got my client a clear shot to buy the house he wanted, and if I was still worried about the housing situation of these four, I believe the state will be taking care of that for the next 15 to 20 years.
Very good, Mr. Detective. And you're saying there might be a dead body in that tunnel? I'm going to go look for his ghost right now.
How utterly ghoulish of you, Ethel. But hey, you haven't really tested those night vision goggles. You better take this flashlight just in case.
Ow! My eyes!
Whoopsie.
And so, although he couldn't prove that ghosts are real, Jack McCoy has proven once again that justice can raise your spirits. What new bone-tingling mystery will Jack face? Tune in next time for another frighteningly good episode of...
Oh, sorry about that. I still can't see where I'm going.
Ethel? Are you all right?
I dropped my tin of snickerdoodles.
You have been listening to Jack McCoy, Private Eye, Haunted Housewarming. Produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Jack was Rick Tennant. Ethel was Jill Wenzel. The announcer was Andrew Dell. Trevor was Aaron Maca-White. Wanda was Brianna Kubi. Mrs. Murphy was Liz Music. Ben was Adam Gastengee. Lori was Andy Gastengee. And the bank manager was Rebecca Scheimer. Fast Talking by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Snickerdoodle!